This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network focused on our communication and leadership skills. In our episode today, we're talking about customer complaints, specifically the off-the-walls ones, more specifically, listening to them. Listening to them as though what our clients are saying is accurate and true, even though things don't even sound remotely plausible. It happens. You don't need to be in the auto repair industry to appreciate this topic, but our loyal listeners who are in auto repair, you definitely will. For me, there was a common gripe I would hear from our technicians in the transmission shop back in the day. I would hear this all the time. I can't get it to act up. That is a horrible thing to have to call the clients and tell them regarding the symptoms that they absolutely felt with their vehicle, and the technicians couldn't duplicate or replicate that problem. I thought I would escape that when I moved into the software part of the industry and no more crazy intermittent transmission problems. Well, hey, turns out software sometimes has crazy intermittent problems too. So this story floated across my desk actually from one of our developers at Autoflow. And it was just one of these sort of old anecdotal parables that remind us to always take anything that sounds like a complaint very seriously. There's always some truth in it. The details just might be more important than we realize. We know when there's a problem that clients don't generally make things up to come and visit us. We just can't always see the problem. So I'm going to go into a little anecdotal story today, and that's also our word of the day. But it is going to communicate regarding a vehicle problem, but I don't think it's just a vehicle problem. It's really a story designed to help us identify what I think is more of a communication problem. Sometimes details that we provide for our specialists in our industry too, by the way, are just not very clear. And what we do get from clients does make it impossible to replicate so we can actually diagnose the problem. And in auto repair, I think it's important to recognize the intermittent problems, especially those are an absolute pain and can be massively time consuming to solve. So we'll go ahead and we'll roll with this from one of my colleagues, a bit of an anecdote. And that is the word of the day, which I will describe for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. With the Institute's coaching, leave a legacy that endures, foster careers, and drive community impact. Start your journey today at weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Supercharge your auto shop with Inbound, AI-powered communication analytics and phone service for your professional shops. Visit callinbound.com. Are you passing along credit card fees to your customers? No one likes that. Express is the only 0% fee alternative to credit card surcharging. Visit myexpress.io. We're back. And the word of the day today is anecdote, and that is a noun, folks. It is a short, amusing, or interesting story about a real incident or person. Real is going to be the question for today, but an anecdote, think of it as a short and interesting story, and we're going to use this with this little anecdote that came across my desk. I'm calling it the Pontiac Parable, and some of you may have heard this story before. It's often circulated. I'm going to go into the story. I'm going to read through the story nonstop, all of its silliness, all of its bizarreness, and just let you hear it. It's a short story. You'll be able to pay attention to this, no problem. And remember, the objective for today is to treat what our clients are telling us as fact, as true. And so try to suspend all disbelief and take this story as fact. All right, here we go. Here's the story. This is supposedly a real story that happened between a customer of General Motors and its customer care executive team. A complaint, it says, was received by the Pontiac division of General Motors. Here's the complaint. This is the second time I have written to you, and I don't blame you for not answering me because I sounded crazy. but it is a fact that we have a tradition in our family of ice cream for dessert after dinner each night. But the kind of ice cream varies, so every night after we've eaten, the whole family votes on which kind of ice cream we should have, and I drive down to the store to get it. It's also a fact that I recently purchased a new Pontiac, and since my trips to the store have created a problem. You see, every time I buy a vanilla ice cream, when I start back from the store, my car won't start. If I get any other kind of ice cream, the car starts just fine. I want you to know I'm serious about this question, no matter how silly it sounds. What is there about a Pontiac that makes it not start when I get vanilla ice cream and easy to start whenever I get any other kind? Okay, we're going to continue this story now. That was the complaint. Well, the Pontiac president was understandably skeptical about the letter, but sent an engineer to check it out anyway. The engineer was surprised to be greeted by a successful, obviously well-educated man in a fine neighborhood. He had arranged to meet the man just after dinner time, so the two hopped in the car and drove to the ice cream store. It was vanilla ice cream that night, and sure enough, after they came back to the car, it wouldn't start. The engineer returned for three more nights. The next night they got chocolate, the car started. The second night, he got strawberry, the car started. The third night, he ordered vanilla, the car failed to start. Now, the engineer, being a logical man, refused to believe that this man's car was allergic to vanilla ice cream. He arranged, therefore, to continue his visits for as long as it took to solve the problem. And toward this end, he began to take notes. He jotted down all sorts of data: time of day, type of gas used, time to drive, back and forth, etc. In a short time, he had a clue. The man took less time to buy vanilla than any other flavor. Why? The answer was in the layout of the store. Vanilla, being the most popular flavor, was in a separate case at the front of the store for quick pickup. All the other flavors were kept in the back of the store at a different counter where it took considerably longer to check out the flavor. The question for the engineer was why the car wouldn't start when it took less time. Eureka! Time was the problem, not the vanilla ice cream. The engineer quickly came up with the answer: vapor lock. It was happening every night, but the extra time taken to get the other flavors allowed the engine to cool down sufficiently to start. When the man got vanilla, the engine was still too hot for the vapor lock to dissipate. Okay, that is the end of the story. Go ahead and think about this for just a moment, all those details. And this is one of those stories that when I read this, like, okay, we're dealing with an older issue here. Vapor lock, that's a problem with carbureted engines. We're dealing with a Pontiac. Pontiacs with vapor locks, there's lots of things that you can research to see that that's a problem. There's a few other details to this story that I think are absolutely absurd in our modern sense, right? Driving to the store every night to get ice cream, very absurd. Why not just buy a few extra cartons and we'll have some for the other nights later this week? We can reduce trips, and my goodness, like, that would make a lot more sense. All right. I think the story is probably just circa sometime around the end or after World War II. There's definitely at a late 40s, 50s, probably time period, people buying ice cream, no rations, all that sort of thing. Old problem. But this was a well-known problem. Now, no Google, no nothing else back then. So maybe there's some details to the story that make this plausible? Hard to say. In either case, the moral of the story, I think, is what's really important here. And that's what anecdotes can do for us. When we're dealing with a story, I think it has a lesson that's valuable. I think it's a lesson that we can actually draw from. And I do not see this problem as a no start. I don't see this problem as a time issue or any other thing here. I see this as a communication issue. When a customer complaint comes in, we have to probe for more details. And I touched on that at the beginning of this episode. I think that's a really important step that gets overlooked. And sometimes we'll just get in a hurry and take down what the customer says. And a lack of curiosity can really lead us to some false conclusions. Now, critical thinking hats on. I think it's fun that, and I think it's relevant that we actually do poke some holes in this story here. I think it very implausible, for example, that a president of Pontiac would have sent an engineer. But then I'm going to say, hey, no, you know what? I think we're probably just not listening to the story with the details that we need. Think about where the Pontiac engineers are in that time period. It'd be Pontiac, Michigan, by the way. This is generally somewhere in that region of Michigan. We're dealing with a customer who's having ice cream for dessert every night. I don't know about many Michiganers. We're used to the cold, but somebody like an engineer up in Michigan probably thinking wherever this customer is pretty nice. This president probably gave them that little letter, said this guy's got a problem. It's something to do with ice cream. We're going to send somebody down to figure out. Now, any engineer worth their salt in this time period would have probably been familiar with vapor lock issues and probably even have some creative ideas to solve it that the manufacturers just weren't interested in applying into the cars because it costs money. Who knows? My point is simple. I think this story could be true, and I think an engineer probably did go down because this customer having ice cream every night probably lived in Florida. Probably this engineer realized this president doesn't know it's a vapor lock issue. I'm going to say I have to go down to Florida. We're going to go diagnose the problem, and I'm going to stay, as it says in the story, as long as it takes to get all of those details. My friends, Michigan winters were much harder back then. Looking to take your shop to the next level of quality service, team culture, and overall profitability? At the Institute, we provide personalized coaching that aligns with your goals of financial stability, excellent customer service, and employee satisfaction. Our priority is helping you establish significant and sustainable progress. We work with you to create strategies that reduce the stress of running your business, improve your quality and performance, and optimize your profitability. Experience the benefits of professional coaching by visiting weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen. Clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text update, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Want to see your auto repair shop thrive? Are you looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Let ShopDog Marketing be your guide. Our customer-first approach, combined with AI-driven creative content, ensures top rankings. Dominate mobile-first and voice search with our specialized expertise. Reach out to ShopDog Marketing today and start growing your business. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound for proven expertise and unmatched innovation. Visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. Credit card surcharging sounds effective, but is this single most damaging action to your shop in the last decade? If you're surcharging, you're tarnishing your reputation and losing customers as we speak. Express is the only 0% fee option to surcharging that your customers already know how to use. No tricks, no hidden fees, just a smarter way for auto shops to keep what's yours and do right by your customers. Book a free consultation with Express today by visiting myexpress.io and see how the most successful shops in the country are flipping the script on credit card processors. So, hey, this story, let's just pretend it's true. Where I actually want to go with it isn't just all the fun, potentially imagining why an engineer maybe milked out a little bit of a vacation for himself to diagnose a vapor lock issue. You can almost picture him leaving the office like, hey, where are you going, Joe? So, got to go diagnose a vapor lock issue down in Florida or something like that. It'd be a ton of fun. I think that this story needs to be written with some of these details. I think I'm going to do that. But here, now let's go back to our age, though, and for our modern methods of communication and back into the shop. There is simply no reason to send someone to diagnose a problem like this one. And this is not the reality for most of us today. An engineer solving a problem is also somewhat laughable. It's going to an auto repair shop. It's going to a dealer. It's going somewhere. And an automotive technician is going to have access to the car, and they're going to take it through a variety of tests that are going to help us identify a, a no start issue in this sort of thing. It would have been an easy thing. I can practically hear my grandfather, who was a dealership technician around that time period of the 50s and into the 60s. So yeah, he would probably have a great deal of funny stories on this. But here's the thing, and this is the bottom line on this whole point. This story is only meant to guide our resolve. Clients present us a wide variety of issues that they are experiencing, and this happens all the time. If they're telling you something and it doesn't make sense, you'll need to use some critical thinking on your own to learn and ask some very careful, calibrated questions. That opens the individual up to gain, you get to hear details if you can open them up to give you more of them themselves. And those details really, really do matter. Now, the challenge is, sometimes you're going to hear some crazy things. You're going to want to have fun with people, but you can't discredit their story entirely. People can become very defensive if they don't feel believed. If you start acting like they're wasting your time with their complicated, silly story, and maybe it is that you have more important things to do or actual problems you can solve, for example, but that can't be your default. Curiosity has to be your default. I would say this is particularly critical when dealing with comebacks. In my years as an advisor, as a transmission specialty, I learned how important it was to take the little things seriously. We do an expensive transmission rebuild, and we are on the hook with our warranty on that. We had lengthy warranty and earliest ones to a 3-year warranty back in our time. And oh, what is it, 75,000 or 100,000 miles? And that's a long time to be on the hook for things that cost thousands of dollars when one little tiny thing that goes wrong can destroy a several thousand dollar component in the vehicle and create that. That's goodbye profit. Goodbye profit. Comebacks hurt in that business. Hurts in any shop. Here's the thing. Customers don't like to feel silly. They don't want to feel like their story isn't going to be received well. It takes more effort on our part, and it takes a little bit of explaining. I was required, basically, I learned this slowly. I had to emphatically remind our clients that if they feel anything at all is out of the ordinary, especially after they pick up the freshly overhauled transmission job from us, I had to tell them, please do not hesitate to bring things to our attention. Don't make them feel silly for it. They're going to feel embarrassed, and they'll probably, they're also nice people, don't like to present problems to other people. We had good relationships with most of our clients, and they felt bad. They legitimately felt bad if there was a problem that they knew we would end up having to do more work or spend money on our own to address. Nobody that's good would feel good in those scenarios. But not making them feel silly, that does mean you do need to be a little careful when you're poking fun and having fun. I like to have fun. I had fun with this story, frankly. I think it's a silly enough story to have fun with. Don't just fall into that trap, though, with some of our clients. They could be a little bit more sensitive. You'll know your clients best. Hopefully, you'll have some fun with them. But here's the thing. Treat the story that they're telling you like it's true. And if you do that and you acknowledge them, we've talked about this before with the APOC episode where I had my guest, Dennis McCarron, on there. Acknowledge, probe, answer, confirm. Acknowledge that, hey, there's a problem. We're going to find out you're in the right place. Probe. Get as much details as you possibly can. Service writers, your techs, your service specialists, all of them are going to thrive on as many details as you can possibly give. And don't be shy about asking the questions that you need to get any details for with your clients. That is probably the biggest issue. Sometimes we feel like we're bothering people for probing for the details. It is not. If they've got a problem, they probably want to talk about it. There's lots of ways to do so. Find the answer, confirm it with them, and you've got it solved. And it feels really good. Honestly, once you've been in this industry long enough, it's those weird cases that you can kind of start to have fun with. Oh, the regular, normal tickets, as nice as they are to have sometimes, make a smooth week. It can get a little boring. So, hey, keep it fun out there. Now, hey, folks, hopefully this was a fun story for you. I like these little things. Anecdotes are exactly like this. Stories are fun. Stories with a moral. Bring that into the communication thing. I also invite those of you who are practicing your speaking and communication skills or just trying to have more, connect better with the audience that you have to prove a point that you have. Maybe it's your teenagers. Maybe it's your staff. Anecdotal stories can be a lot of fun. They don't have to be true. But they do have to be fun. Absolutely. But hey, folks, I want to hear your stories on this particular topic. I know for a fact some of you have some radically wild stories out there, and I would love if you would feel like you could take the time, jot it down in an email. We can even set up a call if you just want to talk to me about the story. I'd love to share a few stories. In almost every case where there's some weird radical issue, I have a theory, and I believe that most of the time it's a problem for us to solve the problem because of a communication issue. It is so typical of sitcoms and movies and anything else out there. It's a little communication gap that creates the barrier to the resolution that would come. I'm hoping I can find some stories from our audience on that specific point. So please email me your stories. Reach out to me here. speakup@craigoneill.net. That's O-N-E-I-L-L, O'Neill. speakup@craigoneill.net. And remember to also, while you're out there thinking of stories, listen up to the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network. We have Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriotto, the podcast that started all podcasts in our industry. Carm, absolutely the pioneer there. And we have Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow. In A through Z, F is for Fonslow. I don't know if he can be diagnosed, but you should definitely listen to him. It's a lot of fun. Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest. The Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker. I'll see Brian and Kim at the Mars Summit for the Institute here in early September. And of course, the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. So once again, thank you so much to our sponsors. Thank you for joining us. You are loyal listeners. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, and believe your clients. Thank you.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.